EWA-517, do you want to report a UFO?
Negative. We don't want to report.
Ares 31, do you wish to report a UFO? Over.
Negative. We want to report one of those either.
Ares 31, do you wish to file a report of any kind of it?
I wouldn't know what kind of report to file, sir.
Ares 31, me neither.
There 71 Papa Golf, go ahead.
And was there anybody at above us that passed us like 30 seconds ago?
There 71 Papa Golf, negative.
Okay. Stop this. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Hey, it's Merger 295. Yeah, something just passed over. Don't know what it was, but it's at least 2,000-3,000 feet above us. Yeah, it passed right over the top of us.
911.
You guys busy? Did we just call about the UFOs we saw?
Mm-hmm.
They're out there, taking airplanes.
County dispatch.
Okay.
Bob, I swear to God, 4 calls in on an unidentified object over Liberty.
4 calls?
4 calls on an unidentified flying object.
All right, man, take a look. All right, we'll check it out.
Welcome to UFO Chronicles, a place where people share their experiences of the strange and unexplained. If you've had an encounter and would like to be on the show, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com. Hello and welcome to the show, everyone, wherever in the world you are listening from. I hope you're all doing good this week. I'm Nick Hunter and you're listening to the UFO Chronicles podcast. And we have two interesting witness accounts tonight. And the first comes from Rich in Pennsylvania and his experiences of orbs of light in the early 2000s, flying in an erratic motion and hovering above treetops. And then we hear from Alex in Northampton in the UK about an incident that happened to him on a cold night in 1997 when he was menaced by a bright light whilst driving. And then Alex has a few paranormal experiences of things that have been going on in his house. If you enjoy listening to the podcast and would like to help support my work, there is a couple of ways to do this. Either you can join Patreon and become a patron of the show for as little as $5 a month, or you can donate via PayPal, and if you like, you can set up monthly reoccurring payments. All links to support the podcast are below in the show notes and on the website. Any help is extremely appreciated, and it helps the show to continue running. Now, on with the show. Welcome to the podcast, Rich.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Great having you on. I'm calling from Pennsylvania.
Correct. Bucks County, Pennsylvania, Doylestown area.
That's great. Okay. Now, Rich, you have a couple of UFO experiences to share with us. Would you like to start at the very beginning, please, Rich?
Yes. My first experience that I ever had, I'd say, was about 21 years ago in the summer, give or take maybe a year. I think there's definitely a year split between the two. So it's either 21 years ago and 20 or 22 years ago and 21. So I was around 20 years old, 19 years old. And I have always been interested in UFOs, supernatural stuff, paranormal things. And, you know, ever since I was a kid, I'd collect books on the strange and unusual type things, mysteries and all that kind of stuff. And I had at some point read that an area very close to me in New Jersey was kind of a hot spot for paranormal activity, as in orbs or seeing lights. And from what I recall from a long time ago, it was more on the lines of it being a ghost-like activity, not UFO type activity. But I still kind of kept it in mind. And one summer about 21 years ago or so, a friend and I went to an area that was spoken about in this book, which would be along the river, along the Delaware River, below Lambertville, and across the river in Pennsylvania would be New Hope. But we were on the Lambertville side, and I said, do you want to go and, you know, just go look at the stars, go out into a dark area and just watch the skies? And I fully expected just to see meteors, you know, or just maybe a satellite, because it's a little bit darker there, not too much, but you could still see a satellite if you really had a keen eye, and it was clear out. So we were driving north up the river on River Road, right below Lambertville. We turned right and then pulled over on the side of the road where it was nice and dark, and there was like a small little field next to us. And we respectively sat on both sides of my pickup truck in the back. And I was sitting facing north, and they were sitting facing south. And, you know, just looking up at the stars, just enjoying, you know, a quiet night, just talking, shooting the shit. And the tree line, I think they were kind of deciduous trees, but they might have been coniferous trees. So they were about like 60, 70, 80 feet tall. And I was just watching the silhouette of the trees against the sky. And within my line of sight, an orb that looked like it wasn't an object. It wasn't a solid object. It seemed like it was made out of light. Like just all the particles were just light. There was no shiny surface. There was no emanation, or it wasn't emanating from anywhere. It was just self-illuminating, and it didn't illuminate the tops of the trees, which was kind of weird, but it was probably about 10 to 15 feet wide. And it just illuminated out of nowhere at the top of the tree line, not even high in the sky, not far from me at all. It illuminated out of nowhere and then went across the tree line about 300, 400 feet. And I watched it the whole way. It wasn't moving very fast at all, but it was a very smooth transition from one area to the other. Took only a couple seconds to move, and then it just disappeared as abruptly as it came into existence. And I just freaked out. I was like, did you see that? Did you see that? Nope. Oh, we're getting out of here. So jumped in the car, drove away real quick. And that really stuck with me. And I haven't really told many people about it, but it stuck with me. And it totally, I've never been the, you know, the skeptic who was like, well, when I see it, I'll believe it. I've always been a believer, but it was still a very scary moment to see that. And then what it means, you know, like not knowing what it is, that was kind of like an interesting thing. Like, is it self-piloting, you know? Or I didn't think of it as there was an entity inside, but like, was this, you know, like some kind of probe? Is like what are these? I have no idea, but it's still scared the crap out of me. So I had to get out of there. And then the next year, summertime as well, I had been doing some seasonal work, and there was like a seasonal employee with me that I was getting to know. And it turns out that they lived in that area, or they live in that area, and their parents were the caretakers of really big estates, literally less than, probably about a quarter to a half mile from where I had seen the orb the year before. And I had told them all about, you know, I saw orb there, do you see things? And they were like, yeah, we see things all the time, because their land had this little peak where you can, it was treeless, and it was a large open field, and you can just sit on that peak and watch the area all around, including looking west towards Pennsylvania over the river. So one night we made the plan to go there and just sit out and look on a really nice night. And this time I came prepared. I actually brought binoculars with me this time. And we were sitting, looking at the sky again, fully expecting to just see, you know, some shooting stars here and there, and that's it. And I was looking over at the Pennsylvania side, less than a mile away, probably three quarters of a mile away. I saw this weird, shaky light start to come up from behind the trees, and I could just see it, you know, with my normal, you know, with my normal eyesight, but I had the binoculars, thankfully. And I took a look at it, and it looked like it was roughly, I guess, the size of like a shed or like a compact car. And it had one solid light in the middle with four lights projecting from the corners as if it was like north, northwest, northeast, like those corners, not north, south, east, west. And those lights kind of had this rainbowy glare effect. And I thought for a second that maybe that might have been the binoculars that I had, but that light emanating still had that effect when I wasn't using the binoculars as well. So I kept a watch on it. And back then, you know, I had a phone with me that had like, you know, camera capabilities, but they're nothing like they are now. So it just looked like a speck of light. You know, it didn't even come up on my camera phone at all. The thing that really got me about it was it didn't move like how I expected something like a UFO to move. It kind of had an insectile type movement. It was very erratic and jerky. It didn't do it very quick. It wasn't doing anything that was out of the capability of like a human can do. But to be dangling something, I guess, the size of a truck that has a light in the middle and bounce it around and float it, probably it went above the tree line, probably about 60, 70, 80 feet, somewhere in there. And it just hung in the air without any noise. You know, there were no helicopter. It wasn't a plane. It was just silent. And it just hung in the air and kind of vibrated around in just erratic motions. And it just floated there. And it was lighting things up. And I was thinking, like, is there somebody on the other side here that could see this from below? Like, there has to be another witness over there seeing this. And the area that I had been looking at was kind of like definitely like a tree area, like a wooded area. It wasn't where homes are built. So I was kind of like curious, like if somebody else from the other side had to see this, because it was really big and so bright. And it did its weird kind of vibration movements all the way back down behind the tree line again. And then it was gone. And that one didn't really scare me as much, but I definitely thought it was unusual that the two times that I went to go look for UFOs and to go and, you know, search them out on my own, I was given the opportunity to see these things. And, you know, thinking about it all these years later, you know, like it seems like a strange coincidence that I'd be looking at the tree line at that exact moment when the orb came into existence and moved across. And to go out with somebody who told me that they see them all the time, and then to get to see one, I just thought it was very strange. And the coincidences are unusual there. And, you know, I don't know if there's some kind of intelligence that's behind it, or perhaps I'm not sure if I believe in the CE5 thing that I think his name's Greer is doing, but perhaps it was a primitive form of the CE5 where, you know, you call onto it and you meditate on it. And then there's some kind of psychic connection between, like, maybe I called it into sight or something. I'm not really sure, but I thought that was kind of unusual that the two times in the same location I was given an experience that I already fully believed in something out there, whether it be extraterrestrial nuts and bolts or probes, but to actually get to see it both times, it gave me what I needed to fully reconcile. Like, it implied, yes, there are entities out there that are beyond us, and, you know, they have us under the microscope instead of us putting them under it. And I've had a few smaller experiences, not as crazy at my current home in the past 2 years. If you'd like me to mention those, the one I actually didn't witness myself because I was looking the wrong direction. Would you like me to talk about those?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead, Rich.
So during the lockdowns, the pandemic of when it hit in March, I guess. Oh, I guess it's almost 2 years ago now. I had built a fire pit, so we spent most of our nights during the summer and the fall just out with a fire pit and just looking up at the sky. And I will admit, we are below where the planes fly north and south from Philadelphia to New York and DC up to New York and all that kind of stuff. So I'm familiar with seeing the flights, and I'm familiar with the planes that go over, and I'm familiar with the local. We have a small local airport that just has prop planes. They don't fly very high and they're very loud. So to kind of, you know, if we're going to be staring at the sky and we have all this interference, you know, I decided to download those apps that are, I downloaded the Flight Tracker app so I can identify planes that are flying and they're in active on, active time on the actual app. You can actually, you know, see the type of plane it is, the height it's flying at, and so on and so forth. And they normally go north to south, south to north. And then I also picked up the satellite tracker app, mostly because I wanted to see if I can catch sight of the ISS at some point. One night, I guess this was about 8 o'clock, 8:30-ish probably. We were just watching the sky. We were watching, southwest type direction. And this light, probably about 60,000 feet, was moving across the sky from west to east, and it was a solid light, wasn't blinking. And I motioned to my partner and I said, "Do you see that?" And she was like, "Absolutely." And then about a second later, it actually lit up. It got extremely bright, moved across the sky about like 5-6 degrees or so. And then it dimmed down again and then flew across the sky a little bit further, another like 10, 15 degrees, and then disappeared. That was really interesting. That's the one where I'd say, like, I'm not sure. It could have been a satellite, but that one was really, really interesting because she and I both got to witness it together. But there was another night that I had a couple friends over with my partner, and I was watching the south, and they were all sitting facing the other way. And my partner said, "What's that?" And my buddy goes, "Planes don't move like that." And I was like, "What are you talking about?" I started dancing around, like, "What are you talking about? Where is it?" And they were like, "Yeah, no, that planes don't move like that. That's crazy." And I was like, What happened? And the way they described it was kind of like a neutral light, like a white light. And it moved in a zigzag almost pattern at speeds that shouldn't be done by humans. Like it was making 90 degree turns essentially. And it went across the entire sky zigzagging back and forth. And by the time I got oriented to look, it was already behind the tree. And it was already out of sight. And that one I wish I did get to see. That had to be really great for them to actually witness that one. But other than that, I really don't have too many experiences. I don't have any paranormal experiences or anything like that.
Good, Rich. Now, your two sightings, which happened 21 years ago, and they were both in the same general area.
Yes.
And it's interesting that, you know, your friend had seen it's a regular occurrence around there.
Yeah, I thought, you know, like, sure it is, because even back then I had interest in outer space and UFOs and all that kind of stuff. Not even necessarily extraterrestrials. I'm not even really sure if that's what it is, right? But I was thinking, sure, I know more than her. So when we get there, I'll be like, "No, that's a satellite, dear," or whatever. You know what I mean? But she was right, and she absolutely delivered. It was it was incredible. Like I couldn't believe it.
And have you visited the area recently?
No, I have no real reason to go out there. It's not too far, but you know, that's when I was younger and I had free time to go do stuff like that and be able to just kind of go sit in a field other than my backyard kind of thing.
But saying that, you know, plenty of things can be seen in your backyard. I mean, as long as people remember that, that there are a lot of satellites up there, you know, we have endless amounts of bodies of satellites flying around. And but a lot of them, they just fly in one direction at one casual speed.
Yeah.
But when they start moving around, changing directions, zigzagging, which, you know, you can see, and I've seen them out here, it's, satellites just don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that's why I picked up those two apps in the first place, just to be able to rule out what these things can be. Like if we really do feel like we saw something, well, you know, here goes two at least semi-reliable apps to be able to take out planes as a thing, and then satellites as a thing. You know, granted, there are secret satellites and all that, you know, but that's why you got to use, like what you said, satellites don't do zigzag motions at speeds that are unbelievable.
That's right. I mean, I use that 24-hour radar app, and it's really good. I mean, you can see a light in the distance, and it does look odd. And then you check the app, and then, yeah, it's a plane, it's a helicopter in the distance, you know, and it's a great app to use, actually. And you can even actually go back 2 weeks as well, which is another good
one. Oh, wow.
And all this kind of sparked your interest.
Well, you know, it's always been something I'm interested in. It's just like if you get interested in space in general, and then you hear things like words like infinity, you know, like there's an infinite universe, you know, it's so impossible to wrap your mind around it that like it just seems to just draw me towards it. And to think that, you know, we're the only conscious thing in that universe is kind of ridiculous. And at a very young age, I definitely thought that and believe that. And, you know, even if it's just like a natural phenomenon that we're able to see a small cone of light, right? We're able to see Roy G. Biv, and with technology, we can see X-ray, we can see all these other, you know, whatever, but we just might not have the capability or the correct tools or body parts to be able to sense what's really going on around us, because there's so many more levels that we're unaware of. Maybe it's just a natural phenomenon throughout the entire universe, and even that orb could be just, you know, a spark that's flying through our universe that happens everywhere all the time. And I just happen to see one, and that's it. You know, they could be, you know, I don't know, on a interdimensional, you know, whenever anybody says that, it starts to get a little wooey, but you know, they could be interdimensional beings. They could be living on another dimension. And when we're seeing these orbs, we're just seeing the shadow from the other dimensions, just like how the third dimension casts a shadow onto the second. We might just be seeing that what we can see from their interference or the movement through the universe and our solar system. And, you know, they could just be as plentiful as insects here, but throughout the universe, you know, you never know. So I've always been interested in it. And, you know, I try not to, I haven't really told those stories. I might've told like two or three people. But like, you know, I'm more than willing to talk about this with anybody, because I am a believer and always have been. You know, that you can't answer everything, and this seems plausible, especially with all the evidence that's coming out, or all the videos rather.
That's right, and there will be more.
Yes, absolutely.
You know, and so many people have these science experiences, and they just simply just don't tell people.
Yeah, you know, I've been holding on to it for over 20 years now. And this is the opportunity 20 years later, I've been given to then tell my story. You know, it took 20 years for a respected podcast to form and start compiling people's experiences, and they feel comfortable telling them, you know, and at least it's getting out there instead of just being a crackpot or the weird guy at work.
Exactly. I've had guests on before, and it's been 50, 60 odd years with the first people
they have told.
Yeah, that's incredible. But, you know, that says a lot. You know, it's a community, and it's obviously not bound by anything other than this belief and experiences we've had. You know, it's pretty cool.
Exactly. Okay, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing that for our listeners, Rich.
All right, thank you very much.
Okay, Rich, you take care of yourself, all right, and enjoy what time left you have off.
All right, thanks.
Take care, Rich.
Take care, Nick.
Introducing the High Strangeness Coffee Blend by Redacted Coffee Company, a medium roast of the Brazilian kind. This medium roast offers flavors of chocolate and vanilla combined with a distinct fruity taste and a unique sweet floral aroma. The experience of high strangeness doesn't end there, with a sweet butter aftertaste that doesn't fade as your coffee cools. This coffee regains its flavors all the way through your cup, ensuring it truly is good to the last drop. The veteran-funded, employee-owned Redacted Coffee Company and UFO Chronicles podcast have partnered together to bring you the best coffee on and off the planet. Get 20% off your first order now at redactedcoffee.com/UFO. That's redactedcoffee.com/UFO. Or follow the link below in this episode's description or click on the banner of my website. This podcast is fueled by coffee oozing high strangeness. So what are you waiting for? Wake up to the strange. Welcome to the show, Alex.
Hi, Nick. Thank you.
It is great to have you come on today, and you're calling from Northampton in the UK?
I am indeed, yep.
Excellent stuff. Okay, your first experience is going to take us back to the 90s, the good old days. Would you like to begin there for us, please, Alex?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so this goes back to, I think it was about October 1997, I think. I must have been around 19 or 20 at the time. And the story starts basically on a car journey. At that time, I was living in Milton Keynes in Buckinghamshire in the UK. And I just started seeing a girl, you know, youthful love and all of that. I started seeing a girl in Northampton. Northampton, for listeners that don't know, is probably around kind of 15, 16 miles north of Milton Keynes. So it was about 8 o'clock at night. And they're going to say it was October because it was a really cold night. Or it was October or November because it's really, really cold. And I know this because at the time I was driving a 1960s VW Bug. And any of your listeners know that have those cars, the heating's not the best. They're slow, they're old, and they're rattly. And it sort of set off on this journey up to Northampton from Milton Keynes. And I didn't go, the main route is to go up the M1, go the motorway. When you've got a car like that, that's not very reliable or safe, you kind of stick to the back way or the back roads. And there's a couple of roads that you can take. There's one that goes through a lot of lovely little villages. And there's one that kind of goes on the A5, which is a dual carriageway. And that goes via a little town called Toaster. So that was the way I chose that night. I went up on the A5 to Toaster, and then from Toaster, there's the A43, which is a dual carriageway road that goes all the way into Northampton, pretty much. So that's what I did. So I'd gone past Toaster. I was driving down the A43. Now, the A43 between Toaster and Northampton is quite a long stretch of road. It's a dual carriageway. It's quite rural. There's no street lights. You know, it's one of those ones where you put your full beam on and cuts through kind of little wooded areas and what have you. And a few miles from Toaster, there's a stretch that cuts through a little wooded area near a village called Holcutt. And I know it's called Holcutt because since this happened, I've kind of checked it out on the maps and everything. Kind of like, that would be roundabout where it would have been. So driving down this road, coldest car in the world, scraping my breath off the windscreen, you know, kind of thing. Gritters were sort of passing you on the way. And then I got to this stretch, and this is what I remember from the experience from the event. It was really, really still. You know, there was no reason to not pass cars at 8 o'clock at night on what is a main road. But I just remember it not passing anything. I didn't see any lights. There was nothing else around but me on the road. And I went past a bit of a curve, a gentle curve in the dual carriageway. And in my rearview mirror, the attention caught me of a really bright light. It wasn't in the sky. It was at road level. And it was a single light. It wasn't headlights. There wasn't dual headlights of what you'd assume was a car. Didn't think anything of it. Looked at the rearview mirror, probably glanced back at the speedo or the steering wheel a split second, looked back in the rearview mirror, and it was behind me. Now, whatever this was, it must have cleared a good, 800 yards in a split second. It was right there. And obviously, I assumed it was just an idiot on a motorbike. And I say an idiot because why would someone go that fast, especially on a cold, frosty, icy night, and effectively kind of come right up behind you? So didn't think too much of it in that second. But what I suddenly noticed is that the light that was behind me, when cars have they put their full beam on, especially on a dark road, and it kind of illuminates everything. This was full beam plus 10. The light that was shining from off my back bumper, it was so close, just kind of lit up the whole of the inside of the car. My hands on the steering wheel, I remember I could see my hairs on the back of my hands, it was that bright. And I obviously thought, well, I'm on a dual bit of road, he can get past me, he can overtake me. But he didn't. It stayed there as a light. It stayed there, what I thought at the time, maybe on full beam, absolutely bright light. And then, and this is where the strangeness kind of kicks in, the light, I could feel warmth from it. Now, you don't feel warmth off a headlight. You don't feel warmth off a light. And I could feel it on the back of my head, and I could feel this warmth. And the light, and I should have described this light really. The light was almost tinged blue. Now, some cars back then, you don't see it as much now maybe, but I remember maybe about 15 years ago, police cars used to have really, really blue headlights. It was like that. It was a really, really blue light, almost like electricity, where it's white, but you get that kind of hue of blue around it. So, of course, this light, it was white, it was bright, it was blue, and it was warm. And I thought, that's not a bike. And then I felt really anxious. I felt really frightened by it. So the natural reaction was I floored the accelerator, which pretty useless in that car. It kind of went from sort of limped from 50 miles an hour to about 52, it's sort of trying to get away from this thing. And the faster I went, the more it absolutely just didn't go away. There wasn't even like a lag as I went a bit faster. It was just still there. So I then thought, and this must have been seconds of thinking process here. I thought, well, I'll ease off the accelerator. If I slow down, it will go around me. But it didn't. I slowed down. It maintained its presence, I guess, behind me. And then within a second or two, that was it. It went. Just didn't exist anymore. The light just went. The inside of the car returned pitch black, vanished. I guess my initial reaction was, stupid sod was, he's come off his bike. That's what I thought, because we hadn't passed, there was no turnings on this little bit of road. And even if there was a turn in and someone was pulling off, you'd have seen them brake and drop back, wouldn't you? That distance would have sort of receded. But there wasn't that at all. The light was there and then it wasn't there. So my reaction then was, he must have come off his bike. That must have happened. So I stopped. I pulled over. I stopped, put my hazards on, got out the car, sort of trotted down the road a little bit, called out. But as I said, it was still. There was no sound at all. There was no bike wheel spinning. There was no moaning. There was nothing. There was nothing there. Nothing there at all. I got back in the car. I was pretty freaked out by it, and carried on to where I was going. Carried on to my girlfriend's house in Northampton, which took me probably about another 10 or 15 minutes to get there. Got in, got to my girlfriend's house. Only been there about 10 or 15 minutes. I told her what happened. I said, the weirdest thing has happened to me. We were sort of talking about it. And then as we were talking, I started to get really, really bad headaches. And I'm someone that doesn't get headaches at all. But this was, you know, a searingly bad headache. That I started to feel, you know, like those four alarm kind of hangovers that kind of, it feels like you're behind your eyes, you know, kind of bad headaches, and started to feel quite sick. We'd kind of convinced ourselves about the story that, yeah, it was just a thing. We couldn't explain it. And that was that. And as I say, we weren't at the staying over stage yet. So I sort of said, look, you know, I'm not feeling well at all. I'm going to take myself back. So drove back home, pretty much just went to bed, took paracetamol, you know, so I'll sleep this off in the morning. I woke up that night about 3 or 4 a.m., I guess. I mean, I didn't look at the clock, but I'm not, you know, you can tell when it's you've been asleep for a while. And the coughing woke me up. I woke up coughing. And I was laying in my bed, laying on my back, which I don't think I do. I mean, if you ask my wife and she prods me and I'm snoring, maybe I do lay on my back. But I woke up coughing, laying on my back. And the weirdest part was my arms were crossed across my chest. And the only way I can describe it is like Dracula sleeps in the coffin with the arms and the hands kind of on the shoulder crossed against the chest. And blood was pouring out my nose, pouring down the back of my throat. And that's what was making me cough. I was completely without covers on my bed. My duvet was piled in the corner of my room. And you know, it was just so strange. And I remember my windows were kind of half, the blinds or whatever were half kind of closed, and my windows were full of condensation, just dripping with kind of condensation. I didn't feel hot. I didn't have a fever. I didn't feel I was coming down with something. I just woke up, coughing blood, nose bleeding, with no covers on, and sleeping like Dracula. Was fine, I guess. But for a week after that, you know, I had regular nosebleeds, regular nausea, regular headaches. And then after about 4 or 5 days, maybe a week, it just suddenly stopped, you know, as if nothing happened. And I didn't think anything else about it. It was, you got on with your life. I mean, I was, what, 19, 20 years old. You don't think about things like that. You know, just got on with things. Then fast forward to about 2002. I was working and I had a job in the evening. I was working one evening and some colleagues were talking about strange lights in the sky. You know, one of those kind of things that people are kind of just chatting about, oh, you know, see lights in the sky, and a bit of a throwaway conversation. And I chimed in and sort of said, oh, now you come to think of it, I had a bit of a weird thing once with a weird light, and started to tell this story, and probably the first time I'd kind of really spoken to anybody about it. And then another colleague, and again, it was an older lady, kind of someone that knew the local area, kind of was kind of very involved in the local area. And she just kind of just threw it in there, really kind of matter-of-factly said, oh, you were probably just scammed. And of course, it's kind of like, sorry, what? hold on. What did you say? What are you talking about? And she kind of went on to sort of expound what she said. And she sort of expressed a view that, oh, in that area, she knows that a fair few people have seen lights, and she said, oh, they whatever it was, just scanned you and didn't find what they were looking for, and let you get on with things. And that was really my first kind of connection with that. What I saw might have been strange or a UFO. You know, I was never a fan of X-Files, you know, don't mind Star Trek, but you know, that was not my bag. And she said that, yes, you know, she's heard that cars are scanned, people regularly see around that part of England, you know, lights and things like that, which I have to say, I've never been able to verify. Since then, you know, I have Googled lights around the A43, UFO sightings, the A43, and the 90s, you know, when that happened. I've never read anything. So if there is anybody out there that can corroborate what this lady said and they know otherwise, then yeah, I'd be really interested to know. So there you go. I mean, you know, did I have a lucky escape from something? Was scanned, you know, fish taken out the pond and then kind of popped back? Who knows? I've always been very skeptical. Since that happened, I've had a loose interest that has increased, you know, hence Nick, me kind of listening to your podcast in the first place. And it was only really kind of listening to your podcast that sort of prompted me to kind of get in touch, because of all the stories that you've had from people, lights and things like that, I was thinking maybe there was some credence in what I experienced. So that's the first story. That's the first part.
Interesting stuff, Alex. I bet you wish you kept that VW now.
I do, but I've since bought other ones.
Wonderful.
I'm surprised it actually got anywhere, because I think not long after that it failed its MOT, because you could pretty much fall through the bottom of the floor. So it's long since deceased, sadly, that car. Yeah,
my first car was a Talbot Sunbeam.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they dissolve as well.
Yeah, I mean, mine was 1983. That was the year of the car. It was the late 90s. I had that roughly, probably about the same time you had your VW and the suspension went.
Mine was a 1969 Volkswagen Beetle. I'd always wanted one. It was my first car. I was desperate to have it. And as you know, if you have owned old cars, they give you a life of pain for every day of pleasure.
It was the choke every winter.
Mine was just no heating. I mean, that's what was really funny about sort of recounting. I think, you know, these things that sort of stay in your head, because, you know, the car was really cold. The night was really cold. You know, and maybe it's that kind of experiential thing that, you know, it's more sensations, isn't it? You know, it was dark. It was cold. The car was cold. The car didn't go very well. And certainly when I floored it, it was kind of like rattling apart, trying to get every bit of life. And of course, you know, when you drive a Beetle, you've got your engine in the back, and it's just all of this like clang, 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 clang from the back. And that probably, maybe in some ways, heightened the experience of seeing this astronomically. And I can't downplay how bright this light was. You know, it wasn't full beam. You know, when you're in a car and you can flick a little switch on your mirror these days, can't you? And it kind of dims the beam. There was nothing dim in this. You know, it was bright as day. And it was kind of so bright that, you know, I've tried to think before doing this conversation with you, I tried to kind of reflect back, and we're talking like 20 odd years ago, I tried to reflect back, and you know, if I could put a size on it, what would I say it would have been? And I can't, you know, as I said, I saw it once and in the rearview mirror 800 yards away around the bend, it looked like a headlight. Split second later, it consumed pretty much the entire back window of the car in the rearview mirror. Just the oddest thing, really was the oddest thing.
The interesting thing is the heat that you felt.
Yeah, and it was, and that was the trigger, I think, for me thinking, and for me feeling quite scared and quite anxious. It's because I shouldn't feel heat from a light. You know, you don't, do you? It's something that you don't feel. But there was definite warmth from the back of it. And you know, if this had been in July, maybe you didn't feel it. But the fact of the matter is, you know, it was so frosty and so cold that, especially in that car, any heat was a bonus. You know what I mean? But I didn't want that heat. You know, that was something that was highly unusual, highly strange. And made me frightened. And I think, you know, I didn't come over this sort of wave of sort of fear. I think it was more a split second fear because it was something that wasn't normal. You know, and when something's not normal, you kind of try and go, okay, well, I'm now a bit, I'm perturbed, I'm scared, this shouldn't be happening. This is not what I expected to happen. I think it's that on the unexpected, isn't it? It's not what I expected to feel. From at the time, I just assumed it was a maniac on a high-powered motorbike. But the fact it blinked out, and I always snap my fingers when I do that. You know, it didn't fade away, it didn't slow down, it didn't veer to the right or the left. It was just there, and then it was gone. It disappeared into another realm. It just that was it. It wasn't there anymore. Yeah, that was that added to my fear. But I still pulled over.
Just to make sure.
I'm very brave. No, I still pulled over because, you know, at that split second, and we're talking, this must have been, you reflect back, don't you, with memory, and you kind of think, oh, that must have been, oh, probably 5 minutes. It wouldn't have been. It would have been a matter of 4 or 5 seconds, probably. You know, you kind of think, oh, maybe it was 30 seconds. It can't have been. It can't have been any more than a few seconds all in all. But you know, at that time, to make sense of it, I genuinely thought that it must have been a bike that had an accident. What else would you think? You know, now if that happened to me, I'd be straight. I'd probably be straight on the phone to you and sort of say, hey, this has happened again. But no, you know, back then in the '90s. And the other thing, important thing to say as well, I've just sort of thought about this. You know, this was 1997. I didn't have a mobile phone. You know, You pull over. There was no calling the police. There was no texting my girlfriend and saying, you know, getting her on FaceTime and saying I've had the weirdest thing. You know, you just kind of you got on with it. You got back in the car and you got on with it. And so yeah, so I think, you know, that was something that sticks out as well. You know, I felt very, very vulnerable and very alone on that, as I said, very, very empty road.
It must have been quite scary. And you know, you cannot escape the fact that whatever you did encounter, it had an effect on you. You know, you felt the heat, followed by the headaches, the nausea, the nosebleeds.
Well, I mean, and this is the thing as a healthy skeptic, Nick, you know, were the nosebleeds, the headaches connected? I you know, you could say no. I think the fact that it happened within about 15, maybe half an hour, 50 minutes, half an hour after what I had. Maybe I was just, I stressed myself out too much. I don't know. But going home and then just having, you know, the amount of blood that was pouring out my nose and the headaches that I had for a week afterwards, but no other symptoms, you know, no flu-like symptoms, no sore throat, nothing like that. It was just a headache and nosebleeds. You know, and then of course, as I said, you know, you consign that to, you put it in a box and you put it back on the shelf and you get on with your life. And as I said, it was only years later that I told that story in a group of people, in kind of, ooh, yeah, I've got a funny story. And then somebody kind of sort of slammed you back down to earth and sort of said, oh yeah, yeah. Oh well, yeah. I can quite honestly believe that. And that's what happens. Why? So yeah, strange.
I don't really like to put words in people's mouths, but there didn't seem to be any time difference.
No, and I think I have kind of thought of that, you know, sort of missing time, I guess we're talking about. Not at all. And this is why I was really conscious to say, you know, within about 10 minutes I was at my destination. you know, I wasn't late for saying, you know, oh, I'm going to set off at, I don't know, 7:15. I'll be with you at 8, kind of thing. I was there when I said I was going to be there. There was no kind of like, where have you been? You've been ages, or did you break down? Nothing like that. I was there exactly when I said I was going to be there. So, you know, when you hear stories like that, you know, and some people will say, you know, well, I started there, and then the next time I kind of looked, I was about half a mile down the road, or no, nothing like that. If it was, I'd have been meters down the road. This all happened really, really quickly, and there was nothing that would have suggested that I was missing for any period of that time at all. In some ways, I wish I kind of was, because it would kind of make more sense of maybe the story I'm telling. But no, it was there. It was then. It went.
Are you intrigued by Paranormal Talk Radio? You'll love the new Paranormal Radio app from TalkStream Live. You'll find a great selection of talk shows covering UFOs, ghosts, strange phenomena, and much more. Download the Paranormal Radio app now and start listening to the very best in paranormal talk entertainment, including the network you're listening to right now, the Paranormal Radio app, free in Google Play and the iOS App Store.
Just, you know, just the sheer fact that you did come in contact, you know, you were close enough to feel the heat. So this is maybe your, you know, your body's reaction to, you know, whatever energy source you kind of come in contact with.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, you know, in hindsight now, and doing the kind of, I'm not a UFO researcher, but by any means at all, I take a healthy interest. I like to listen to people's experiences, because I think everyone's got credence in their experiences in the same way I have. But whatever that light was, the heat, and I do believe the heat and the sheer power of it left a physical touch. You know, it wasn't something I saw from a distance. This was something that was right behind me and was hot. It was warm. There was energy. There was a sense of presence there. You know, in many ways, you know, kind of close encounter thing, you know, there was an interaction. It interacted with me in the sense of heat and light that I didn't ask for, that I didn't expect. And quite frankly, that I've never seen again. And I'm not too bothered if I don't see it again, to be perfectly honest with you.
Interesting. Have you ever discovered any ailments or anything later in life? Not necessarily directly after it happened.
No, nothing. Nothing that I could ever put my finger on. As I said, you know, I haven't had like an itchy finger and then sort of expelled an implant or anything like that. You know, I am a fairly regular run-of-the-mill sort of person without many ailments. In fact, I very rarely get ill at all. So no, it doesn't seem to have had any lasting effects. Although maybe my second stories might suggest that there's an affinity to high strangeness. I don't know.
I'm the same. I didn't ever touch wood. And never get sick.
No, as friends said, like, you know, oh, you know, did they care to remove the probe when they put you back in the car? It's like, oh yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
I've not heard that before.
Yeah, that sort of thing. The only thing I did do is, and again, not to be minuted, I took part in a research project once about remote viewing with 100 subjects, and I was the only one that managed to remote view what was in the thing. So I don't know. Maybe I've got a bit of an uncanny knack for something that is strange, but no, nothing that's affected my life in a positive way. I mean, bloody hell, you know, you kind of think, oh, it's a magical experience. It was just an experience.
And did you carry on doing a remote viewing, or was it just like a one-off?
No, I didn't. I responded to, I don't know if it was a PhD student now, it was a while ago, sort of looking for subjects. And I thought, oh yeah, that'll be a bit of a hoot. You know, I'm kind of interested in that. And yeah, it's, I managed to what it was. There was an experiment. They went through the original kind of, I don't know if it was MK Ultra or something, sort of CIA experiments, stick you in a chair and put headphones and white noise and ping pong balls on your eyes and ask you to kind of describe what you see in your in your mind. And then they would have this thing, Nick, where it was kind of like a, they put their computer on Google Earth and they said, okay, I've done a random Google Earth picture and I'm looking at it and I want you to tell me effectively, you know, what you might be manifesting in your mind or whatever. And there were several different things. One of them was, can you describe any shapes? And that was quite similar to what they saw. And then the other one was, can you smell anything? You know, if you were to describe it, would it be hot, cold, you know, damp, dry? Sort of listed these things. And then they said, okay, here's a bit of paper. I'd like you to draw what you think you can describe in your mind. And yeah, so I drew this thing and it was like an alpine sort of scene, some fir trees and a fence. And then the person that was doing it went sort of like, oh, right, I'm going to show you the picture. And she showed me the picture and she put the bit of paper that I drew up against it and it was pretty much identical. And I said, does that happen a lot? She was like, no, no, you're the first one and your subject's 98. And I was like, oh, okay. I said, well, that's fast. Can I keep the picture?
Did you reach out to them? You just volunteered?
No, they just put a call out for kind of willing, daft volunteers, I think. Because I had a friend, a colleague that kind of did it as well. So we sort of thought, oh, yeah, that sounds interesting. So that was it. Yeah, that was another funny story. But I don't know. As I said, you know, I don't ever want to be put under. I don't ever want to be hypnotized. I don't ever want to poke and delve into those kind of realms because, ignorance is bliss. You know, it's I'll just chalk this one down to a strange experience from 20 odd years ago.
Interesting. Okay, great stuff. Okay, do you want to move on to your next one, please, Alex?
Next one. So my next story, nothing to do with lights and cars and roads at all, is I moved house recently. I say moved house recently. It was about a year ago now. I think everything in lockdown and pandemic is a bit, time's a bit amorphous, isn't it? You know, so it feels like yesterday, but it wasn't. It was about a year ago. And moved into a nice house, not far up the road from where I lived before. Bit of suburbia. Nothing remarkable about the house at all. And within a couple of days in the new house, I had two sort of strange things that happened to me. Firstly, was my first ever, and thankfully, I've had none since, bout of sleep paralysis, which, you know, I'd honestly never want again. You read about it, you hear about it, and I know friends that have sort of said, yeah, oh yeah, it's horrible when that happens. I was like, God, it happens to you? It's never happened to me before. It was really frightening, so I had that. And within maybe the next day, or maybe it was the day that I had this sleep paralysis, it coincided with me seeing black shapes out of the corner of my eye, peripheral vision in my eye, like fleetingly. You know, if you sense something there and then you move your eyes to look at it without moving your head, you know, they're gone. And so I saw these black shapes, chalked it down sort of, you know, to tiredness or whatever, you know, oh, that's a bit odd. And then about a day or so later, my wife, who is not, you know, who doesn't have, who's never had an experience of any kind of strange kind at all, whatever, completely unprompted by me, sort of said, have you ever noticed sort of black things? And I said, what, black shapes in the corner of your eyes? She goes, yes. I said, yep, I have, yesterday. And she had too. And it was like, ah, we've seen the same thing. And, you know, that was about a year ago. You know, since then, we now both sort of see them independently, kind of on a regular basis. Nothing that makes us frightened. Nothing, you know, you can pick up on sort of energies, I guess. We don't think there's any energies here. My dog doesn't kind of go mad and sort of, well, I'll come on to that, but generally speaking, doesn't go mad and see them or anything like that. But we've both seen these black shapes out of the corner of our eye. fleetingly, a split second, you look in a direction and they're not there. And I then recalled that this wasn't the first time I'd seen those black shapes. I'm going to go, it's like a time travel story, this, isn't it? I'm going to go back to about 2005. And again, it was recently after I've moved house. I don't know if that's connected to moving house. I've no idea. But about 2005, I moved into a house, an old Victorian house. So Victorian house where you've got like the kitchen at the back, you know, you've got like the front room. It's a terrace, you know, so you've got the front room and you've got like a dining room area. Then you've got the kitchen at the back and you've usually got a backyard with a window in that dining room area. They're fairly generic in the UK in terms of a Victorian terraced house. And just moved into this new house with my then partner, full of boxes, full of bin bags. I hadn't really unpacked yet. And I was there sort of sitting at a computer, and the computer was positioned so that to the left of me would have been the kitchen and to the right of me would have been a window looking out onto the backyard. And out the corner of my eye, I saw what I thought would have been like a plastic bag blowing around in the wind, kind of just being whipped up and sort of moving around. And I thought in that split second, oh, it's a bin bag, because of all the, you know, refuse bags we've been unpacking stuff. It's in the yard. Only my brain was confused. It wasn't in the yard. It was in the kitchen. So I could kind of, if that make, this is really difficult for me to explain. My mind was saying there's a bin bag blowing out of the right side of my eye in the window, but it wasn't. It was the left, and it was in the kitchen. But of course, it couldn't be blown around the kitchen because bin bags don't blow around in the kitchen. And again, I kind of looked, and it was not there, and sort of dismissed it. I mentioned it probably at the time to my partner and forgot about it. A couple of months later, it was Christmas and we parted ways. And on Christmas Eve, she had family in a different part of the UK. So she went to see them for Christmas Day. I went down to see my family, locked the house up, turned off the lights, etc. I came back on the Boxing Day and all the lights were on in the house. So I let myself in thinking that she'd returned before me. There was no one there. I thought, oh, she probably popped out to the shop or something. So I gave her a ring. She's like, no, I'm still at my folks. Okay. Well, God, all the lights are on. Long story short, there was no break-in, nothing stolen, nothing to report to the police. Just the house had all the lights on. Put it down to dodgy electrics. It was a rental house. It was an old house. That was that. About a year later, we were woken kind of really abruptly at about, you know, middle of the night, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, don't know why. We sensed, or we both sort of noticed, that there was a glow, there was lights on downstairs. You know, we never left lights on anyway, and sort of heard something. And again, you know, obviously, and this will be a bit of a motif, I think, you know, sort of like pushed out of bed to go and see what was going on. I don't know why girlfriends and wives do that. So, you know, Mr. Hardman, I think we did have a hammer under the bed, so I could pick this hammer up, you know, vigilante in kind of vigilante in pants, you know, kind of going downstairs, sort of like going, who are you? There was no one there. But all of the lights were on downstairs. So was the radio. And the best bit was that there was a light in the living room. That if anyone's ever rented a house and you have to fill out an itinerary when you first like get the keys, and it says every scuff, every dent, every mark, everything that doesn't work, so they don't bill you for it when you move out and kind of collar you for paying money. And they said that this central light in the middle of the living room didn't work. It was on bright as day, absolutely bright as day. Every light was on bright as day downstairs, and the radio was on. So we moved out of there fairly soon after, you know, not necessarily because of dodgy electrics or bad lights. I think we just decided to buy a house because the mortgage rates were kind of good. But that was another sort of like little episode of strangeness. And that's what I remembered connected with that house, seeing black shadowy shapes out of the corner of my eye. So I guess this moves on to kind of the nearly the present day, and something's happened since then. In fact, I'll continue the story of the black shapes. We, a few weeks before Christmas, just gone. So Christmas 2021. As a lot of people are, I was working from home. I was working in the living room at my laptop, tapping away. And from where I was sat was the hallway. Now, the hallway in my current house is, generally speaking, where we see, or we've both reported, my wife and I reported these black shapes and saw them. And as I'm looking at my screen, again, your peripheral vision, if you're looking at a screen, you can see around you, can't you? Can see behind the screen kind of thing. You can sort of see. And I saw two of these black figures in the hallway at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon in front of me. Again, look up, they're gone. Only this time, my dog, who is barks at the postman but doesn't bark at any high strangeness, saw them as well. Because she suddenly got up, ran to just where they were, and just started barking her head off, which I thought was great. Because, you know, so it's almost like I'm not going mad. The wife's seen them, tick. The dog's seen them, double tick. Brilliant. You know, it's a thing. I was straight on the phone to my wife, like, you never guess what? The black shapes are back, and the dog's seen them. So that was again just sort of before Christmas, and then. Last week, as I think it was last week, my wife woke me up in the middle of the night and said, I think there's someone downstairs, which you don't want to hear. You know, that's again, it's kind of a repeat of that thing from years ago. It's like, there's someone downstairs. It's like, yeah. I heard movement and I stuck my head around the door and I think I saw someone moving around at the bottom of the stairs downstairs. Okay, great. So again, pushed out of bed, vigilante in pants. Prodded down the stairs, but unlike horror films, I turned the lights on. So kind of like light on, boom, light on. There was nothing downstairs at all. She was convinced. She said, "I'm telling you, I saw something downstairs, and it wasn't the dog, because the dog was sleeping in our bedroom." And yeah, she was convinced. She was convinced she saw something. So I think to cap off this little part of the story of high strangeness, there's definitely a thing. I remember once we were in the summer, one, you know, sort of late last night at the bottom of the garden, we kind of both saw something move in the house that was like this black shape. So again, a bit like a light behind you in a car. If anyone out there can shed any light on what black shapes might be, yeah, do pipe up and let me know. Because it's something that is sporadic, but it is definitely something that we are seeing. So that's kind of my second story. And I go on to my third and sort of final thing. And again, this is relatively recent. I think this would have been about September 2021, end of September 2021. My family, my wife, kid, we went out with some neighbours just to a local restaurant. And we were walking back home and we sort of said our goodbyes at their driveway, and they were going up their driveway back home. We were going to continue another few paces back to ours. And for whatever reason, I don't know why, I mean, I never look up. I just looked up at the sky, and I noticed a pinprick of light, like a star, white light. It wasn't flashing like a plane, just a single pinprick white light. But it was moving it kind of erratically. It was moving sort of slowly downwards, and then it would go up to the side, and then it would kind of go across to the other side, then it would move down again, then it would move back up. And I was like, this is great. This is too good to be true, and I've got witnesses. I kind of nudged my wife and I said, look, can you see that? And she was like, oh, yeah, that's weird, isn't it? You know, it wasn't a Chinese lantern. You know, it was too high up. And then I thought, right, I'll have some more witnesses. So I called the neighbor and said, oi, come and have a look at this. Can you see that? And it's like, oh, yeah. And, you know, for a good few seconds, we kind of stood and kind of watched this white light just sort of maneuvering about. No noise, nothing like that. And I was like, right, tell you what, it's now 2021. I've got iPhones now. I'll take a video. No wonder no one captures anything like this on videos, because, you know, an iPhone in the dark trying to record something, you know, that's up in the sky when you know, and you've only got your hand to kind of support it, was just rubbish, and it was such a disappointment. But after a few seconds of us watching it, it didn't blink out. It just sort of faded away. Just disappeared. Just went. And that's it. They're my stories, Nick.
Good job, Alex. You know, the black shadows are interesting, you know. So you had these experiences with the shadows in this old Victorian house, which obviously has a whole heap of history in any case.
Yeah. And, you know, if there's something I semi believe in, I think you'd be mad not to think that there's other life or out there or interdimensional, you know, other realms. You know, it's now becoming kind of commonplace to sort of chalk that up as like, yeah, probably. You know, I've never been a big believer in ghosts or the paranormal, you know, poltergeist or anything like that. It's not something I'm interested in. It's not something I give any credence to, really. I keep skeptically open-minded, as I think you should be. You know, show an iPhone to a caveman and they're going to think it's wizards and magic, isn't it? So, you know, we don't know. But I think the strangest, creepiest thing for me is that this is something that I'd seen before. And don't get me, you know, one thing I have to sort of point out is that, yes, I saw it back about 2005 in one location. You know, I moved house into a different house, another Victorian house, didn't see anything at all like that. Nothing at all. I was in that house for 5 years, I think, around that time. No black shape, no shadowy shapes at the corner of my eye, no nothing. I then moved into another Victorian house for about 3 years. No black shape, no nothing. Then moved into another house that was a newer house. No nothing. So when it happens again, it was kind of like, hold on a minute, I've seen this before. But not regularly, you know, not for many, many years. And I think for me it was that. And as I said, it was only because, you know, I didn't say that I'd seen these shapes, but it was my wife that sort of said, I've seen something as well, that you then kind of, again, it's kind of instructive, you know what I mean? It kind of gives you a bit of credence that in what you're seeing or not seeing, but certainly experiencing. So, this is not a phenomena that has followed me through my life. It's sporadic, if nothing else.
Yeah, it does sound separate. And houses in the UK, you know, they're very old, you know, and they do have quite a lot of life that have passed through them over the years. So, yeah, it could well be, you know, I mean, to be honest, I mean, the vision of Alex coming down the stairs carrying a hammer and a pair of pants, you know, that should be enough to scare anything off, I guess.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, welcome to Earth, or certainly welcome to suburbia. But I have to say, the house that I'm in at the moment is not that old. So, and the house that I'm currently in, we've been in about a year. We've seen them kind of sporadically, but since the last couple of months, I think we've seen them. We've both seen it, whatever it is. A fair bit.
Telepath is a weekly digital newsletter filled with the latest paranormal news, trending topics, and fresh articles from some of the most popular critical thinkers in the community today. Stay informed on your favorite paranormal podcasts and live streaming talk shows. Interact with the Telepath and upload your paranormal story or pics. It could be featured in an upcoming edition. Sign up right now for the free Telepath newsletter at paranormal.radio. That's paranormal.radio.
So who knows? Who knows what that is? Who knows what black shadowy shapes are? It's definitely, I would say it's definitely a something that I can't rationally explain away. But, you know, I've obviously listened to your podcast. I've seen other people describe shapes, black shadows, things like that. You know, maybe it's a medical, maybe it's an eye complaint, maybe it's a shared maybe it's a shared insanity. Who knows? But it's the strange thing that is now. We're now seeing, and actually, I have to say, we're now kind of expecting. But I tell you one thing, you know, not frightening, no sense of dread, no sense of kind of foreboding with it. You know, there's the calmness. It's absolutely fine. I'm quite happy to get up in the middle of the night in the pitch black without. You know, thinking something terrible is going to happen. It's not a thing, but it, as I said, it is a thing. So, and I guess I sort of tacked it on to my email to you. First and foremost, it was the light, the incident, the frightening incident really that happened 20 odd years ago. And I thought, oh, I know, I'll just tack these ones in as well for free, for good measure.
A little bit of a bonus.
Yeah, bonus content. But absolutely, yeah. And again, as a skeptic, it's something that, you know, I quite like explained. But I'm not rushing to investigate it. You know, I'm certainly not rushing to sort of dig out a Ouija board or anything daft like that and get spirit boxes and set motion cameras. Can't afford them for a start, but or do anything like that. But it's. As I said, it's just a thing.
And you know, and if you can live in the house, no problems, and there's, you know, they're not keeping you up at night, then you know, there's no bother.
Absolutely, you come and visit. I mean, if you'd like to chip in with the gas bill, whatever you are, then, you know, please leave your details on the back of a postcard and stick it to the fridge. You know, if you've got energy to kind of wander around my house and I don't know, cloak yourself, then. I'm sure that'd come in useful for other things around the house. So yeah, we'll see. We'll see with that one. Jury's out.
I don't mind the odd light being turned on, the odd lamp, you know, but just don't turn all the lights on in the house when I go to bed.
No, it's especially with the energy prices these days. You know, that smart meter is. I'm going to know. Yeah, that smart meter is going to record something overnight. So yeah, if you could refrain from doing that. And just peacefully coexist, that's absolutely fine. Of course, you know, if you start breaking things, then I will have to start charging them. But no, for the time being, it's fine.
That's wonderful, Alex. Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating.
Good. Well, I hope so. I mean, you know, you it's funny when you start talking, monologuing about these kind of stories and everything, you kind of think, am I just one of those sort of rambling kind of... old men that sort of sit at the bar in a pub, you know, and kind of recount stories, fantastical stories. But yeah, the details are, they're all good. It's vivid. I mean, you know, and I think that's the thing with the, you know, the important counter in that car on that day, back in the late 90s. It's something that was just so odd and so experiential that it sticks with you. You know, I don't wake up in every morning and think, oh, you know, that thing that happened 20 years ago, you know, it's not left this indelible mark that's kind of seen me obsess about it or regale stories about it at the drop of a hat, you know. But as I said, you know, some of the experiences that I've heard people have on your podcast, it's kind of like, yeah, if that's worthy. If somebody else has ever been followed by a big bright warm light in a car, maybe it will prompt them to kind of drop you a line and get in touch and share their story with you.
Absolutely. And you know, I definitely think the big pull for the show is people have these experiences, you know, yours is in the nighters, you know, and you know, you have an account and you have a story kind of around that time, you know, which I enjoy listening anyway, you know. I would everyday people, average Joes, you know, everyone has lives. I like the way it's all kind of interwoven.
Well, what I think, and probably the, you know, the final thing that'd be really interesting is, as I said, you know, I kind of Googled. I was listening to one of your podcasts recently, and you were talking about lights and UFOs. Maybe Colorado. I don't know if there's like a hotbed. There's certain places, you know, around the world that are kind of renowned for it. You know, around in Yorkshire, like the Todmorden area and stuff. You know, yeah. Obviously that's got a famous story attached to it. But there's often things seen, kind of high strangeness. And, you know, I'd be really interested, is where I encountered what I encountered, or actually what encountered me, I guess, there, is that a thing? You know, is there, that lady said that it was. I've never been able to find any stories or anything corroborating it on the net. So it's, yeah, it'd be interesting to eventually find out if other people had had similar experiences around the area or not.
So if you're out there listening and you live in the area and you're familiar with what Alex was referring to, then definitely get in touch.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd be fascinated. Thank you so much. Thanks for so much for giving time out of your evening to do this as well. Not quite as frightening as I thought it would be.
It's not. And so some people, I can take them. It can take months for me to get them on the show.
I guess they do want to. Otherwise, they wouldn't have written in.
Exactly.
So I suppose it is a case of sharing that story. But I think, you know, tapping something on the keyboard and pressing send is one thing, but actually having to articulate it verbally is something different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not easy, and I understand that. But sometimes it's purely the best way to get people to recount it, so to speak. Because if I was to jump in literally after the first 5 minutes, that's it. That account then is going to change. Not so much change, but you're not going to get the details.
That's absolutely right. Because I was saying, I sort of said to my wife, I said, you know, when you listen to them back, and yeah, obviously there's, you'll edit the ums and the ahs and the pace and everything, right, and what have you. But, you know, they are kind of monologues in a sense. And you, that's a really good point you make, the fact that you don't go in there and say, okay, so hold on a minute. So when you saw that thing, what were you feeling? What did you do? Because then it breaks the narrative, doesn't it?
It drives me at the wall whenever shows do that. I won't name names, but there are shows that do that. And so I didn't want the show to be about me. It was just, it's purely about the guest. Mm. And I'm kind of glad to keep it that way as well.
Yeah, I think you're doing a good job with that, Nick. I think it's, as I've used the term refreshing before, I think it, you know, there's a lot of paranormal UFO podcasts and you dump them off pretty quickly.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's good to hear the flavours. The different flavors of people that you have on, the different accents, different narratives, different locations. What an interesting job you've got.
It is, yeah. I'm very lucky, you know, because I can just sit back and just hear these accounts, you know, and yeah, I couldn't be happy, and I'm really glad I kind of started it, and I'm glad people get something out of it as well. That's the main. The emails I get, people saying, oh, I love the show, I do this, me and my husband listen on a Sunday and all that kind of stuff, and yeah, it's nice. That's the rewarding bit for me.
Right, it's great, and it's global as well. You know, what a small village we live in.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, Alex, I really appreciate you coming on and sharing it all for our listeners tonight.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on, and good luck. Good luck with the show. It's a great podcast.
It was a pleasure. Thank you.
Cheers, Nick.
That is all for this week. Keep updated and connected with the show on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And if you have an encounter you would like to share on the podcast, you can email me at ufochronicles@gmail.com or reach out to me via the contact page on my website at ufochroniclespodcast.com. A big thank you to Rich and Alex for sharing tonight, and thank you all for listening. I will be back next week. Till then, stay safe and keep watching the skies. Goodbye.